Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood, tips and tricks,
products we love,
and brands that we can't live without. Let's get into it. It's nearly Christmas.
It is. It really is. I mean, are you organised? Are you not organised? Will you be running out on Christmas Eve?
Well, I'm right in the middle of a week's work at heart. So I'm covering for JK and Kelly. So I'm on drive time this week, just getting London home. So basically, I am trying to squeeze everything into the few hours that I get in the morning and just make sure that, I'm wrapping my presents and everything else. And we're recording this obviously a few days before it goes out. I've just heard from Lucy, our nanny, her water's broke this morning. So she is having her baby currently in hospital. So I was like, yes, that's amazing. That's amazing. She was like, I'm fucking terrified. So she's going through it. So poor, like, lovely Lucy.
She's going to have a newborn at Christmas. That is so sweet.
She was so funny because she was like, I cannot believe this is happening in and around my birthday. And I was like, you're going to have to get used to the fact that your baby completely upstages you for the rest of your life now.
Yeah, sorry, there's no birthdays for, 18 years or something now.
What about you? What is the Dayton Christmas household looking like?
I mean, what is it looking like? It still looks like a bomb site. I'm trying to get festive, but it's really hard when, like, there's just drills and ladders and, like, all kinds of stuff around. But we are going to be packing up and heading over to my auntie's. So that will be really festive there and lovely. So, yes, my Christmas will begin. And actually, I'll get to sit down because there's plenty of adults around to look after the kids.
That's the best thing, isn't it? That is the best thing. I can't wait to see all my family. Just please take my children away from me.
Here we go. See you later. Me and James are actually having Christmas on our own. Can you imagine? Yeah. Right, okay, we'll drop them to you. Yeah, and we're going to go home and have lunch on our own.
Yeah, or go to like a swanky hotel. I remember before the kids came along, this was before, obviously Isla was born, but before we got pregnant with Luna, we spent our very first Christmas together and we went to Calcott Manor, which is this like proper gorgeous hotel. I mean, you know, didn't matter. We were like drinking champagne in bed on Christmas Eve and like just lounging around, just having day sex, going out to like the spa. It was just, that will never happen ever again. I mean, I wouldn't change it for the world because Christmas with the kids is phenomenal, but just, you know, a couple of days of isolation with my husband would be nice.
Yeah, that's like proper Christmas, isn't it? That'd be like a proper Christmas gift. So if anyone's listening and they want to work on Christmas Day by looking after our kids, then send us a message.
I reckon we should do a live on Christmas Day just to check in and everyone can join in just to do a little cheers. leave that with us.
Yes, we'll do that. But this is a really exciting episode, isn't it?
Do you know what? I've got to be completely honest with you. I was bubbling away with excitement during this chat and I was trying to keep a lid on it because it's not very cool when you are like fangirling as much as I was doing inside. But I didn't say this when we were talking to her, but basically there are two women that I used to watch growing up and they are the reasons that I'm a presenter, if I'm honest with you. The first one is Davina McCall. I just loved watching her on Street Mate. She was just across my screens throughout the whole of my life. And the other one is the person that we're speaking to today. And she really is an icon. She's been around forever. She's such a grafter. She's made a career over in the UK on shows like SMTV Live. And then she went over to America and she just smashed it. Who are we talking to today, G?
Today, I literally cannot believe it. We have got Kat Deely on the podcast.
So today's guest, we're so excited about this one. She won a children's BAFTA for her presenting role on SMTV Live. We grew up watching her on our screens virtually every single day of our childhood years. Then she left us. We're still not kind of over that. But she went to sunnier climates to Los Angeles. She's been hosting So You Think You Can Dance in the States pretty much forever. I think maybe still doing it, actually. But now we've nabbed her back and we're over the moon about that. She is mum to her gorgeous boys, James and Milo. She's married to Mr. Patrick Keelty. Today, it is the wonderful and gorgeous and brilliant Kat Deely. Hello.
Hello. Hello, ladies. How are you doing?
We're good. How are you?
Very good. Very excited to chat. Very excited.
We are so over the moon to have you on, Kat. I guess the first question is, like, how are you? Welcome back. And what is life like back in the UK for you?
You know what? It's absolutely lovely. I mean, it was always kind of in our minds that we would at some stage or another, you know, come back. And really, it was a little bit for us. Well, when we thought about it, it was a bit like, well, let's do it sooner rather than later, basically. So it isn't such an upheaval for the children, you know. I mean, Milo was 4 and had started going to school in the States. And it's just, it's very different. You know, they learn a completely different syllabus. It's very different. He would have had his own friends there. And then to bring him back felt a little bit unfair. If we could make it happen and make the transition as easy as possible for him, then that was what we were going to do. And I mean, we literally did move heaven and earth, as anybody will do for their kids. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. If it's at all possible, you will make it happen for your children. So essentially what we were going to do is we were going to have him start school the September that's just gone. So we got time to sort everything out and get things moved over and find a place to live and get rid of the house that we got over in the States, you know, all that kind of like big adult responsibility stuff. Yeah. And the head teacher at the school that Milo goes to now said, listen, he can come in September, or if he comes in January, then he'll be one of 5 new kids starting at the same time. So if you could make it happen, that might be a little bit easier on him. So literally, I think that was Halloween last year.
Yeah.
So I flew over with the dog as well, because I was
amazing.
Like, oh, children and a dog, and you know, it just can't happen. So I flew over with the dog, left the dog with my brother, went house hunting and rental searching and all that kind of stuff, found a place to move to, and literally it wasn't available until January. So myself, my husband, James, Milo, dog Lily, moved into my brother's.
Oh, wow.
Flat in Primrose Hill.
Oh my gosh.
6 weeks. And we're still talking to each other. So that's
amazing.
That's an achievement. What was the sort of deciding factor? What was the thing that made you go, right, that's it, we are moving back now?
Well, the main factor was friends and family, because we will never get this time back again. You know, like I said, the boys are 4 and 2 and they've got grandparents who adore them. They want to hang out with, you know, grandma and granddad and nanny, and they want to hang out with them, and they want to hang out with them right back. And this is a moment that we will never get again. And it kind of, you know, we've kind of got everything that we need. We don't really need anymore. So if you can't get this moment back again, then really that's the most important thing. But there was definitely a moment where Paddy and Milo were caught up in they were up shopping at Westfield Shopping Centre, and they'd gone to Shake Shack to have a burger, and it was just like a treat after school, and they got caught up in what they thought was a live shooter. They all kind of got pushed into toilets and into the kitchen, and people were screaming, and it was, and I had to go and get them, and I didn't realise what was going on. And it was only when I was driving up in my car that I realised the enormity of it, as I saw like 6 helicopters circling and news teams and SWAT squads and, you know, full policemen in riot gear. Like, it was very, very scary. And it's just, you know, it's just more prevalent, really. You know, the gun culture there is, it's really apparent, you know, you yeah. see it all the time. So it definitely wasn't the reason, but it was one of the reasons and quite possibly a catalyst for it, you know.
Yeah.
Because in the States, obviously, you were going to have to look, you were looking around schools for Milo. Did you feel that presence when you were looking around your choices? I mean, they obviously have to go through scanners, and is that a real thing that you sort of feel and sense when you do look at schools?
Yeah, there's definitely a moment, you know, like how we would have a fire drill and yes. we practice doing fire drills and things like that. They practice doing, you know, if there's a live shooter that comes on the premises and yeah. what they do and what the protocol is. And they have to, because of course, you know, if you're dealing with 4-year-olds that yeah. don't listen at the best of times. I mean, mine doesn't anyway. I know that for a fact.
No, ours don't either.
How do you cope with this, you know? So it has to be practiced and it has to be done, and you have to know exactly what's going to happen. And the same as earthquakes, you know, there are also earthquakes there, yeah. so they have to do earthquake practice too. But it just brings it to the forefront of your mind, you know. All we ever had to do was fire drill.
Yeah,
they always used to go off in the night, or like, because I was doing some flexi boarding for a while, and it was just like, why are you doing this in the middle of the night? It's ridiculous. Every time it went off, we were like, there isn't even a fire. There is even a fire. Or maybe they were the real ones, thinking back. Either way, they're a pain in the ass, let's be honest.
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, I'd just like to say, we all three of us have got 4-year-olds, so we're
yeah,
going through
we? This. Yes. Got them.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, you're slightly Jekyll and Hyde too.
Yeah.
Sometimes
yes.
like an absolute angel, and then other times you're like, where has this evil piece of evil voodoo come from?
Mine like, likes to play opposites. So he'll go, can you go and get dressed? And he goes, no, I don't want to. And I'm like, okay, don't go and get dressed. And then he will. And he goes, sometimes I do what you say, sometimes I don't. Oh, okay. I'm glad we've cleared that up.
I like it. The sense of power that creates. Yeah, it's amazing.
Kat, tell us a little bit about your kind of upbringing before we get into sort of parenting and being mum. Just about mm-hmm. like, I don't really know too much about like where you spent your childhood and your relationship with your parents and stuff.
Yeah, I'm very, very close to my parents, and you know, my brother is one of my best friends. We're two very different humans, but we absolutely love each other. He's very laid back, quite always errs on the side of caution, my brother, whereas I'm the opposite. I'm kind of like, yeah, I'll fly by the seat of my pants, and I'm not really laid back at all. I'm quite into everything, you know. So but I grew up it was called Pear Tree Drive, and it sounds all very English, but it and you know what was weird, there was a stream at the bottom of the garden, and there was 4 houses on either side. And everybody had kids. So there was gates going in between everybody's houses and gardens. So everybody could just all play together. And then we managed to build a bridge over the stream to get to the other side. So there was like a family that were over there too. And basically we had this street, and everybody would do different events. So our event was always bonfire night. We'd always do, you know, the bit, and then other people would be New Year and somebody else would be Christmas party. But my mum was at home with us, and then my dad worked. But yeah, I'm very close to both of them, actually. And they've always been very cool. That obviously there are moments where I turn around and I went, like, for instance, my mom let me go and live in Japan for 2 months when I was 16.
Yeah.
Was that when you were modeling?
I turn around to her now and I'm like, are you nuts? Like, did you not like me? Did you not really want me, or what was it? And she's like, no. We always really trusted you. And it was like, well, you know, that she'll be all right. Like, she's okay. She's sensible enough. She's all right. She can get her home if ever she needs to be. It's
yeah.
fine. I had a great relationship with my mum and dad, and actually still do. We're all going back up there for Christmas, and you know, yeah, it'd be fun.
Are there elements of like your upbringing, you know, like that whole, you know, it sounds like you lived in a very close community that you want your children to grow up with?
Yeah, I absolutely would. I would love that. You know, I think that it was just so nice because it meant that you got friends that you made at school, but there were also other friends that you got to. So I think that helps with keeping your perspective on everything. Yeah. And then the other thing that my mom and dad really instilled in me was, you know, your brother is your best mate, you know.
He's lovely.
Your best mate. I'm the oldest, and so that started really, I think, from right when I was little. You know, my mom very much involved me in looking after my brother and, you know, changing his nappies and doing all of that kind of stuff, because, you know, and I feel like if you instill that in your children enough, I think it kind of works, you know. And I know he's always got my back, and he knows I've always got his back, you know.
There's something so special between, you know, that's the sibling bond. I mean, my sister is one of my best friends. We are two totally different human beings. Yeah. But she is the person that I call every single day, the person that I confide my whole life. You know, I tell her everything. Mm-hmm. So I think, well, you know, Georgia and I have both got two kids, and we see the bond between ours as well. It's really magical. If you can give your children that gift of being super close, you be your own person. You don't have to be the same people, but just to make sure that they look after each other in life, 100%. That makes me feel happier as a parent.
Yeah, 100%. And I feel like as parents, you can instill that. You can almost, you know, get that going right from when they're very, very young. And I just like the fact as well, then, you know, of course, you know, you lose generations as they get older, but then you've still got your family with you as well, you know, at the same time. I think it's really important. Well, I'm going to try and do it with mine. But they seem to be getting on really well because they've just started playing together too.
Lovely.
It's really lovely, actually. So hopefully it's going to be the same. And when Milo goes to school, James misses him and like runs to the door when he gets home. He can't say Milo yet. He's in that delicious 2-year-old phase where like loads of his words are slightly squiffy, you know, not quite. Yeah. So he's always like, Lilo, Lilo, Lilo. And it's the cutest thing. So hopefully, listen, you can't force them, but I feel if you can kind of bend them in the right direction, that's great.
Yeah, and obviously if they grow up seeing, you know, you and your brother close, then it's kind of learnt behaviour as well, isn't it? It's like instilled in them.
Yes.
Yeah, no, it's lovely. I haven't got any siblings, but when I think about Axel and Gigi when they grow up, I feel, I hope that they're close.
Georgia only wanted to have one baby cat, and then I was with her when she found out she was pregnant with her second, because she just looked completely grey. And I was like, what's up with you? Oh my gosh, you're pregnant. We did the pregnancy test in Barenberger in the Lewes.
We did.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was happy being an only child, and I thought I wanted the same for my son. And now I'm just, yeah, I'm so pleased that I did it. And just you talking about the sibling bond, it is lovely.
It's lovely.
Really lovely.
Oh my goodness. So are you going to have any more too?
Or good question, Kat.
No, my gosh, no. Listen, no, I'm not answering these questions.
Kat, can you tell us how you met Patrick and how that relationship came about?
Yeah, so we met each other ages and ages ago, years and years ago. We met each other on Fame Academy. It was probably like, I don't know, 18 years ago, something like that. We met each other. And we always really liked each other. We'd always kind of got on. He always made me laugh, all of those things. But either he was with somebody or I was, or, you know. And but we'd always stay in touch, and we'd always you know, we'd see each other occasionally. And then I went to America, and we just kind of stayed in touch and all that kind of stuff. And then what happened was, it was my birthday, and he rung me. He was in a pub in Ireland, and he rung me from the pub. And bear in mind, it was probably about 2 o'clock in the morning because they'd had a lock-in. Yes, exactly. I can hear you laughing. And that's exactly what I did.
Bit of Dutch courage.
Exactly. He was like laughing, and he's like, oh, I'm just ringing to wish you happy birthday. And I was like, oh, thanks, you know, blah, blah, blah. And He said, what are you doing? And I said, well, we're actually going to go and have some brunch at the Beverly Hills Hotel. And I'm going with a few mates. And he said, oh, okay, what time are you going? And I said, about two, we're going to have like a late-ish lunch. And he's like, okay. He said, I'll see you there. And I was like, yeah, right you will, Charlie, with bananas. I was literally like, there's no way. And it was literally, you know, it was 2 o'clock in the morning there. And yeah, you're right, Dutch courage. And he went home, set his alarm for 5, got up, went to the airport, flew from Belfast to London, then jumped on the first plane from London to LA, got in a cab, told the cabbie on his way from the airport what he was doing.
Oh, my God.
And the driver was literally like, do you want me to wait for you? Should I run? And he was like, no, I've got this. I'm feeling good. I've got this. And so he walked in, dropped his bags at the concierge, walked in and came and sat down for lunch.
No.
Oh, my God. Did you know at that point, like he'd done that, did you know that was it? Like you were going to have children with him, you were going to marry him, and that was it.
I didn't know that. I was incredibly surprised. And I was also, I mean, it's a Richard Curtis movie, isn't it, essentially, that. And I think so often we struggle to even get somebody to text us back, let alone fly across the Atlantic. Do you know what I mean? So I think, and I think there was something really quite brave and quite noble in it too. I mean, it was nuts as well. Don't get me wrong. It was definitely, you know, nutsy, but it was, it knocked my socks off a little bit, you know? So
that is incredible. That is amazing. I mean, has he told you what the conversations were in the pub the night before in Belfast? Because I reckon, what was he chatting to his mates about? There's this bird, right? She's pretty fit. You probably know who she is. She's, you know
what? I wouldn't be able to, all I know is I wouldn't be able to understand a word. Because they're so broad Northern Irish as well. And they'll have all had a skin full at that stage. Unless I was looking at their lips, I wouldn't be able to understand a word they were saying.
No, it's not the easiest, is it? But what an amazing move from him. I think that's incredible.
It's punchy.
Yeah, it's punchy. We like punchy. So you guys get together and then flash forward to the moment where you think we're going to have babies.
Yeah. I mean, listen, my whole thing was I'd always wanted to have kids and he had two. And so then when we were like, oh, this is lovely. We're really cool. Like, so we didn't hang about with any of that, really. There wasn't like, because it also the way he played it was just like, there was no messing around. There was no game playing. There was no, oh, well, I'm going to pretend to do this, but really I mean that. And maybe I should do this, but there was none of that. So it, instantaneously, it was all kind of cut back and it was all very like, well, what do you want? Well, I want this. What do you want? Well, I want that. Okay. What about this then? Do you know, like it was very, it was actually very simple. And we were, you know, we were a bit older and we'd kind of done what we wanted to do. And we, you know, I'd traveled and I'd lived in another place and, you know, our careers were great. And so it was kind of, well, right time, right place, really.
Yeah.
And we both wanted children. So it was like, well, let's fingers crossed. Because it was one of those things before I had kids, I was, oh, I hope I'm lucky enough.
Yeah.
To be able to have. Like, I never automatically assumed, oh, yeah, this is going to be very easy. My mum struggled to have babies. So always in the back of my head, I kind of had a little bit of something like, I don't know, was it genetic? Was it, you know, you just don't know, do you? Until you try, you've got no idea.
And how was the trying? not the physical act, but, you know, did it happen quickly for you?
You know what? It was, providing we all got our time, because that was the other thing, is he was flying back to come and work here, and then I was working in the States. So there was a lot of backwards and forwards. But, yeah, it was all okay, thank goodness. I mean, it all kind of worked out okay.
Yeah, because how do you have that conversation if you're trying, you know, you sort of calling your husband going, you've got to come back now. But like, not if he's in Northern Ireland and you're in LA.
Yeah, I mean, there was definitely a bit of that. But I also think we didn't really put any pressure on ourselves. Yeah. We hadn't got to that stage. And I've got lots of friends who have been in that situation, and I completely understand it. And, you know, if it hadn't been happening for us for longer, then of course we would have, you know, that we would have headed more in that direction, possibly, you know, towards IVF and all those kind of things, you know. But what we didn't want to do was put any stress, and we just didn't want to be anxious about it. It was like, okay, let's just see how it goes. And I think, I've got friends as well who actually the moment that they've been more relaxed about it is when they end up being pregnant. You know, we've all heard those stories where it's literally like, you know, they're taking temperatures and they're working out dates and they're doing this, that and the other. And then all of a sudden when they stop doing that, it happens.
We'll be right back after the short break.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
We all know how a Christmas carol begins, but you've never heard it like this.
Marley was dead to begin with. Dead as a doornail. Now, I don't know why a doornail. They've never had any life to begin with. But bottom line, Marley is dead.
A Christmas Carol, the rude retelling, read by Brian Harvey. Listen to the uncensored version, out now. Find it wherever you found this podcast or go to podfollow.com/Scrooge.
Bah, humbug.
So, welcome back. Back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Where were we? And did you enjoy being pregnant? What was that whole experience like for you?
I didn't particularly.
No.
And I kind of, it sounds awful because actually I had an easy pregnancy and it was all, you know, everything was fine. But I was always a little bit worried in the back of my head just in case. And I didn't, you know, for me, I was working as well at the same time and flying and moving around and lifting suitcases and all the, I just, I'm very independent and I'm used to, I found it a little bit tricky.
Just to
kind of reposition my head and be like, oh no, I can't lift that and I can't do that. And Do you know what I mean?
Oh, totally.
Yeah, it can be hard to accept.
And I didn't mind it at all because of where I was in my life. I kind of felt like, you know, I'd done so much and I was so happy and I was delighted to be pregnant. So I wasn't resentful, but it was just a weird shift in my head.
Yes.
I'm so used to being so independent.
Yeah, it is a shift.
Yes, it's very different. Did you not have the same thing?
Oh, yeah.
It's how you kind of try to just carry on being the same person and then something happens and you think, oh, actually, this isn't about me. This, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. I want to be doing all these things, but actually, I feel exhausted, and I've got to listen to that.
Yeah,
you know,
even when I was going into labour, even when my contraction started, I was sort of in denial about it, and like walking around the park, and I was like, let's go for a roast. And Doz was like, you're in labor now, like we can't go for a roast. And I was like, no we can, it's gonna be ages. And he was just like, we probably need to go home. And he was a bit like, you're gonna have to accept that this is happening. But I definitely, like you guys, just kind of in a way just wanted to live the same life, but knew I wanted to be a mother. Obviously it was absolutely amazing, but couldn't quite let go of that, I think.
Yeah. And it was just sometimes, and also because I did feel well, and I mean, I know some women that have the most awful, like,
yeah,
they just feel rotten and never stop throwing up and can't get off the couch. And that must just be just awful. But also, so you kind of almost forget you were pregnant too. So you kind of catch yourself and go, oh God, no, I can't do that. I can't lift that. Or I can't, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And how were your births?
It was okay. The second one was much harder because, of course, I got Milo. So yes, that was really tricky. Because, of course, what you're trying to do is you're trying to obviously make Milo still feel really special, even though there's a new baby on the scene too. So it's trying to find that balance, and but not being able to pick him up, and so you have to just be a bit smarter about, okay, how you cuddle him. So it definitely took me longer with the second one, because I didn't rest as much, you know.
I can't
as the first time.
It's really interesting that you touch on that, because I think we all felt that with the second, there was that huge responsibility, and there was all these fears going through, certainly mine and George's head, about will it break the special bond that we had with our first by bringing a second in. And did you worry about any of that before James was born?
Not for me, because I didn't think that at all. But I just wanted to make the transition as easy as I possibly could for him, because, like, you know, as we started off saying, is I love the bond between my brother and I, kind of wanted that to be there from the get-go. And actually, some of my friends had said to me, look, the really smart thing to do is to give Milo a gift from the baby. So when I came home, Milo and Paddy came to get me from the hospital, and James bought him like a scale electric set and all that kind of stuff. And he was into it. And also that we gave Milo his important job was to bring the new baby and mama home. Do you know what I mean? And that was his important job, and that was what he got to do as big brother. And so that's what we did, rather than, We didn't bring him into the hospital before I was coming home with him, you know.
Yes.
And this is just him, you know. I was just trying to make it as easy as I could on him. So that might not work with every other sibling, but it seemed to with us, you know. And I think the gift just helps. And then it's his important job that's what he's doing, is he's bringing his baby brother home and his mom, you know.
Yeah. Do you know what was funny? We did something really similar with my son and when my daughter was born. And still to this day now, she's 18 months old. He always goes, how did Gigi know what Hot Wheels that I did? Every time he goes to play with it, he still says the same thing. He's like, how does she know?
Genius.
Oh, I love, but it's so cute, isn't it?
Like, it's cute.
I love it. It's like, and how they haven't quite, I mean, it's going to be the same this year with Christmas even. It's a bit like that now, they're really understanding Christmas too. Yeah. So I think it's going to be the same thing, you know, that it's going to be like the wonder of it is going to be there, which will be completely infectious.
It's magic.
What sort of a mum are you? How would you kind of describe your parenting?
Describe yours. How would you describe yourself?
Fly by the seat of my fucking pants. I haven't got a fucking clue what I'm talking about or doing 99% of the time.
Oh my God. You know what? And I think that really sums it all up. We're all just trying our best to do the best that we possibly can. Like, to me, I hate it when other people are judgmental, or when this mommy shaming thing that, like, all of that, I think is just so negative and so, and such a bad tasting mouth. As far as I'm concerned, it's jokes, no judging. And that's it. And we're all open up to it. And you know what? We're all just trying to do, you will never meet a mom who isn't just trying to do her best. Do you know what I mean? Whatever her best on that day is, and whatever she can summon up, you know, depending on the night that she's had the night before with them, or what she's got, like, and that's what everybody's doing. And I feel the more we can kind of support each other with all that, the better. But nobody really knows. I mean, like, all those people that kind of pontificate and this is the best and that's the best, and you know, you've got to breastfeed, or you give them formula, or you do, like, whatever it's like, as long as you have a happy, kind, healthy child, you know, that's all anybody's trying to do.
No,
so true. That's what we believe.
Yeah, exactly. How do you find, like, juggling, you know, your career and your family life?
It's really hard. there isn't a magic formula. I kind of wish there was, but there really isn't a magic formula. I always feel a little bit like, when I'm at home, I feel like, oh, I should be doing some more work stuff, or I should be doing that, and then flip it around. And then when you're at work, you feel guilty about not being at home. I think women all have that. I don't think it's never clear cut. And, oh, it's really, really difficult. But I think it's equally as difficult for stay-at-home moms too. I don't think anybody's got it completely sorted out, you know. What has been lovely is, weirdly, in this weird, horrible, strange time that everybody's just been going through, is I've actually had loads of time to spend with the boys, and it has felt completely guilt-free, because there's nothing you can do about it. I can't get on an aeroplane and go somewhere. So actually, as hard as it has been, and it's been hard for everybody, I haven't met a single person that you know, the global pandemic hasn't hit badly. But at the same time, you know, I taught Milo to ride a bike and to read, and it's stuff that I would never normally get the chance to do, and I've reveled in it and completely enjoyed it. And I think it's just about finding those moments, and you know, finding those moments when you can, and how you can, and what you want to do, you know. And I feel like, always with me, it's about, you know, you have those voices in your head and you're like, well, should I be doing this, or should I be doing that, or how am I gonna, and you just kind of have to just push them to one side a little bit and go, right, I'm going to be in this moment right now, and this is what I'm going to do. I mean, we also have to plan like maniacs, but that's really what we try and do.
Do you, kind of with the roles, obviously Patrick and you've got these amazing careers and you're very busy, but obviously two very involved parents, do you flip-flop? So if you have to go away and work, is he there and is he supportive of that, and vice versa?
That's what we try and do. We always try and do that, and actually it's worked pretty well up till now. So think, you know, touch wood, we can carry on doing that. But yeah, we always try and make sure that one of us is here. And that's always worked. And to be honest, you know, it's pretty good. It's not entirely flexible, but when it comes to one of us being at home, we can normally juggle it and make it happen.
And talking of your amazing career, can we talk about SMTV Live, please? Because this is the childhood show that we grew up watching. We were so over the moon to see the photographs of you and Anton Deck back together again. And it's going to be on Boxing Day. So can you tell us anything about it?
What we really wanted to do was, we wanted to redo one, but because of everything that was happening, there was no way we couldn't get people on and get people doing sketches and having an audience and all that kind of stuff. It just wasn't possible. We even looked into, like, maybe you know, having club seating and splitting people off into bubbles, but there was just no way. So it was kind of us all together taking a look back at all the different moments, talking about the evolution of the show, how it started. We laughed, we cried, we joked, we teased each other. It was like, it's just, it was fun, you know. Cat the dog's teeth came back, they went in for a bit, we tried them on. It was, yeah, it was funny.
Oh, and you've written a children's book.
Yeah, and I mean, it was long before COVID happened, and it was just, it's that thing of, at the end of the day, I am completely exhausted. Like, I'm in bed by 9:30 these days. Yeah. You know, after I've birthed the boys, I'm literally like, because I'm soaking wet probably anyway because it splashed me. I'm in my pajamas, you know, that's it. That's what happens. And so when it gets to bedtime, I'm just exhausted and I'm like, okay, well, what do I want to say when I can't find the words? And that was really the idea behind the book. It's a collection of moments and ideas and thoughts and feelings, and it's top and tail by love, and it's just to get them talking about their emotions, and then, you know, hopefully if you have an open dialogue with them, then they can reach their full potential as an adult and just try things and do things. And sometimes I feel like we need to be reminded of that a little bit too, you know.
Do you know what, is that something you do with them at night, you know, like before bed? Do you ask them how their day's gone and how they're feeling and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, totally. Or sometimes it's not even that, but they'll come up with something, or they'll think about something, you know, and they'll ask me questions about it. And I remember Remembrance Day. Milo was talking to me about Remembrance Day and what the poppies were and what it meant. And but Mum, who are soldiers? And, you know, and you suddenly, you obviously, you want to tell your children the truth, because I think that's incredibly important. I think the minute you don't, you try and hide stuff from them, I think that's when it becomes scary and it becomes the bogeyman under the bed. But obviously, you have to give them a version of the truth that's not going to scare them before they're going to bed and not going to frighten them, and you know, that isn't too advanced for them where they are emotionally, you know.
Yeah.
So I think it's about just having an open dialogue, and you know, sometimes we talk about it in the car on the way home from school, and sometimes we'll talk about it in the bath. Like, there's not a specific time or place, but obviously I think just chatting in general is great.
Yeah. Always encouraging the open dialect is dialogue is super important.
Yeah.
And is there going to be a fifth member to the Keelty Deely clan anytime soon, Kat?
I don't think so. I don't think
too knackered.
So. You know what? I'm exhausted. Yeah. And I'm 44. I'm not 28. Do you know what I mean? There was a time when you could be up all night and go to work the next day, and it would all be like, I can't do that anymore. I mean, I'm so happy with my lovely boys, and I'm so lucky to have them that, I couldn't possibly wish for any more, really. So, I'm delighted.
And just before we let you go, we just like to ask our guests the piece of advice that you would give to a new parent that you've been given.
Oh, my piece of advice is jokes, no judging.
I love that.
Yeah. And Kat, any like products that you swear by for the kids?
What do I love? I love Mastella products. Yes. I really like those. There's one that they do that is like a freshening water, which is so nice because I've got boys and they've got crazy hair. In the morning, I spritz it on so I can get the brush through it, and it smells so good as well. And it's easy, you know what I mean? Because I stick it all together in a little box when I'm getting them ready. I love that. I love it. I actually really enjoy a diffuser as well with essential oils in it.
Lovely.
I like lavender for nighttime. I like Albus for if they need help breathing. And then there's also an oil called Thieves Oil, which is supposedly kind of antiseptic a bit too, and is helpful germs too, which seems to, listen, I don't know, I'm not a scientist, but it seems to it seems to help us anyway. So, and then the other thing I really like is the grow clock. You know, the one that
we've got it.
Yes, we've got it.
Someone told me the other day there's a lock on it, and it's literally just transformed my life, because Luna would get up in the night and just fiddle around with it, and then come in at 3 a.m. going, the sun's come up, and I'm like, have you done that?
Yeah, but meanwhile, you've got like a tech expert on your hands there. Like, you'll be so proud of her, like when she's running Microsoft and,
Thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for giving up your time as well, because we know how busy you are. It's been an absolute treat chatting to you, so thank you.
Lovely to talk to you too. Stay safe enjoy your lovelies too.
She's our new best friend, isn't she?
Oh, she is. Do you know what? She's got such a good energy, hasn't she? She's like really bubbly, really positive, really fun. Oh.
Yeah, she's mega.
I mean, I'm a fangirl as well now.
Yeah, totally. I loved it when I said to her, how would you describe your parenting? What sort of mother are you? And then she just flipped it back on me and said, how would you describe yours? And I was like, someone who hasn't got a fucking clue what's going on. And it's like, yes, that's exactly it. And she's like, we're all just winging it. She sounds really normal and down to earth and actually, you know, just a regular mum, right?
Yeah, exactly. And also, you know, it's really interesting. You know, lots of people have careers that take them all over the world. It's something we've considered, like in our house as well, you know, like moving abroad. But then ultimately, when it comes down to it, you think, you know, how long have we got to be with our family? Like, it's a big decision, like huge decision that she's made to come back. But ultimately, I guess, you know, she wants to be around family. She wants her kids to be able to see their grandparents and all that kind of stuff. And
it's really nice to go away and experience it. I think it adds so much to your life if you get the opportunity to go and live somewhere abroad and work or not work. But there is something about the draw of coming home. I mean, you look at Mark Wright, who obviously I see quite a lot of, and his reasoning for coming back from America was like, well, I just can't be away from Essex. I just love Essex so much. And he's like, the Sheesh, my favourite restaurant. It just doesn't compare to the LA eateries. I'm like, oh, for goodness sakes, Mark. But it's right. There's no place like home.
Yeah, and I think there's some people who are really, you know, they love home. I'm probably not like that kind of person. We've lived around lots of different areas, not like a million miles away, but you know, in Scotland and all that kind of stuff, and now we're the closest to home we've ever been, and I've got to say it's so nice. It's really nice.
Up until this point you didn't give a shit, and now Georgia's got a heart.
I grew a heart in the hospital. That's actually what James said. He goes, your old personality was left in the hospital, but you grew a heart. And I'm like, that's good, I guess.
But he was with you for like 15 years before that and thought you were a
complete He didn't mind. Yeah, exactly.
Well, we're just a few days away from Christmas now. So we're going to be back on Christmas Day. We're calling ourselves the saviours of Christmas Day. You know, I think we will be. Please make sure that you join us then. Also, we'd love you to rate, review and subscribe to the podcast. And please tell somebody this Christmas about the podcast. It would be really great to spread the word a bit further.
Yes, please do. And we're going to be back to it, back recording in Jan. So if you have any suggestions for guests or topics that we haven't covered or we have covered and you'd like us to delve into again, then please drop us a message at Made by Mamas or on Zoe's channel at Zoe Harbin. And we'll see you Friday.
See you on Christmas Day. Oh, ho, ho. Oh, God, I've done it again.
No.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode. and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.